I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
MSW Media.
With swearing, daily beans.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. Today, Mitch McConnell says he hates Trump for what he did last week and is pleased about impeachment. Liz Cheney says she will vote for impeachment. The Department of Justice and FBI gave a press briefing today. Law enforcement is monitoring several serious credible threats of attacks on the Capitol. Inside Trump's failure to respond to the insurrection, Parler's amateur coding could come back to bite seditionists. Extremists are turning to encrypted channels. Lynn Wood is kicked off Carter Page's case. Mike Pompeo is uninvited to Europe as top diplomats refuse to meet with him. Trump speaks to the press, sadly, and multiple companies are shunning everyone connected to the outgoing president. I'm AG.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Holy majoli.
I mean, AG, what are we going to talk about today? There's nothing happening. You didn't mention anything at the top of the hour. So should we just like chat?
Yeah. So like, what's up?
What's up, yo?
Oh my God. So much news today, including this really weird press briefing by Michael Sherwin, who's the acting attorney general in District of Columbia, and FBI deputy director of the Washington field office. Okay. It was there. Mysteriously absent is the actual attorney general and the director of the FBI. And I'm going to be talking later in the show with CNN legal analyst and former federal and state prosecutor Ellie Honig about that press conference and what was discussed. And then you and I will be doing the good news. And then between now and then, there's just no other news, really. So
that's it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we can try. We can try to hit the hot notes.
Yeah, I think there's a couple. Let's hit them.
Hot notes. All right, so the lead story today is the dominoes are falling. Mitch McConnell is said to be furious with Trump for inciting the insurrection. And a source says that he hates Trump for what he did. New York Times is reporting McConnell has told associates he believes Trump committed impeachable offenses and that he is pleased that Democrats are moving to impeach him, believing it will make it easier for him to purge Trump from the party. That's according to people familiar with his thinking. The House is voting today to formally charge Trump with inciting violence against the country. And at the same time, Kevin McCarthy of California, the minority leader and one of Trump's most steadfast allies, has asked other Republicans whether he should call on Mr. Trump to resign in the aftermath of the riot at the Capitol. And that's according to three Republican officials briefed on the conversations. While Mr. McCarthy says he personally opposes impeachment, he and other party leaders have decided not to formally lobby Republicans to vote no. And an aide to Mr. McCarthy said he was open to a measure censuring Mr. Trump for his conduct. In private, Mr. McCarthy reached out to leading House Democrats to see if the chamber would be willing to pursue a censure vote. Nancy Pelosi didn't rule it out, but I hope she laughed at him. Taken together, the stances of Congress's top two Republicans, neither of whom has said publicly that Trump should resign or be impeached, reflected the politically fraught and fast-moving nature of the crisis that the party faces in the wake of last week's assault by pro-Trump mob, which I would call an insurrection, during a session to formalize President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s electoral victory. Now, Liz Cheney, the number three Republican in the House, says she will vote for impeachment, and she put out a scathing statement.
Scathing. Scathing. That's exactly the word I used when I was describing it. And I hate this, and I dislike this woman deeply.
Mm-hmm. This is Dick Cheney's daughter, though I don't know if she shot anybody in the face. recently.
And who doesn't throw their sister under the bus when they're trying to ban marriage equality? Anyway, keep going.
You know, just a thing, just a Tuesday. Well, she said the president summoned the mob, assembled the mob, lit the flame, and everything happened after is basically his fault. Now, there's other stuff going on, too. There are big threats to the Capitol that the FBI is responding to. There's reporting coming out that they were warned of a war ahead of January 6th. And in their press conference today, they said, "We told everybody we were supposed to tell Mauno." And Ellie and I will talk about that in a bit, too. But there are threats to the Capitol. And, of course, Trump's comments today, taking no responsibility. Again, that's his jingle. And he said his speech was perfect, which is, again, something we heard about the Ukraine call and the call to Georgia, Raffensperger. It's a perfect call. It was great. Many have reviewed it word for word, and it was fine.
Especially my last the last sentence of the last paragraph. I'm like, what?
We watched you, bro. And then he incited some more violence. He said impeachment is dangerous. It will make people angry. You don't want to do this. It's dangerous. And he kind of repeated those wink and nod, you know, hey, yep. It's dangerous. People will be angry. And then he said, running away.
Stand by.
And then, yeah. And then he said, while running away, I don't like violence, you know, and it just sort of ran away.
Against me.
Yeah.
That's what you couldn't hear as he was running. I don't like violence against me.
Yeah. So he's sitting there like, look, it was a perfect speech. I didn't do anything wrong. But if you impeach me, people are going to be angry. It's going to be dangerous for you. It's going to be dangerous for Pelosi. It's going to be dangerous for Schumer. I don't like violence. Bye. And then he got on his where it was a helicopter. I don't know if it was Air Force One or Marine One, but, you know, he's out there yelling.
I feel like Trump, like, having these conversations where he's like, I don't like violence, but I'm going to encourage it, is like Bristol Palin holding her third child, the second one out of wedlock, talking about, like, abstinence-only policies. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and we all know everything he said is with a wink and a nod. Like when he tweeted, I will not be, for all who have asked, I will not be attending the inauguration of Joe Biden, which Twitter and several people took to mean, it's an open target, I won't be there, go for it.
Right,
and
exactly.
It was that tweet that eventually, ultimately, got him permanently suspended from Twitter. Not because he's a dick and he's not going to go to the thing. It was a veiled wink and a nod to his angry mob.
Yep. Hey, you gonna be there, bro? No? Okay, cool. Let's go, guys. All right. And speaking of all of those assholes, by now you may have heard, this is a hilarious story, if you ask me. Not the actual part that we might be, you know, going into a violent civil war, but the fact that this website was so poorly protected. So there was a hacker.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like our segment. We used to have a segment on Mueller, She Wrote, called Republicans Can't Tech.
Well, this is definitely it.
Yeah.
So the hacker says she scraped 99% of posts from Parler. And we know that that's like the Twitter wannabe site used by Trump supporters to help organize last Wednesday's violent insurrection on Capitol Hill. What you may not know yet is this abysmal coding and security that made the scraping possible. So just to sum it up for you, let me recap. The scraping was pulled off by a hacker who goes by the handle donk_NB. Whatever. She originally set out to archive content posted to Parler last Wednesday in hopes of preserving self-incriminating material before account holders came to their senses and deleted it, which they often do. Now, by Sunday, AG Donk NB said she had collected roughly 80 terabytes of posts, including more than 1 million videos, many of which contain the GPS metadata identifying the exact locations of where the videos were shot. It might as well just been like, hi, I'm Jane Smith, and I'm standing in Austin, Texas, at the corner of, you know, it was just one of those things where you're like, oh, dear. So a key reason for how successful this was, Parler's site is a mess. I mean, its public API used absolutely no authentication. When users deleted their posts, the site failed to remove the content. and instead only added a delete flag to it. So it's sort of like when you delete a picture, but it's already up in the cloud, but you don't delete it from the cloud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so you know out there, that happens. And each post carried a numerical ID that was incremented from the ID of most recently published one. So the rookie code that this company used made it easy to automate the scraping, as this script used by Donk NB's archival team demonstrates. So as a result, massive numbers of posts that discuss the insurrection before, during, and after it was carried out, they're all preserved indefinitely so that they're available to research journalists, prosecutors, and others like the FBI and the Department of Justice. Now, another amateur mistake was Parler's failure to scrub geolocations from images and videos posted online. They didn't get rid of them, so we know where the pictures came from. Mm. So sites like Twitter and Google, they routinely remove such metadata from content posted by their users. The video files hosted by Parler, by contrast, were quote-unquote raw, meaning they still contained all of that information. That is fucking believable. Mm-hmm. What a failure it was to protect the and anyone's information on there. If it was this easy for an amateur hacker to get 80 terabytes?
Yeah, and Donk NB was rushing too, because as we know, midnight on Sunday, Amazon cut off hosting and Parler was going down. So, you know, she must have been like hair on fire trying to get all this information, and found out because of their shitty code. She was like, oh shit, I just need to type two lines. I can scrape the whole fucking thing and run away. Like,
amazing.
She has it all. Women
Good
rule the world. I know. I'm excited about that. And this is interesting. The Trump brand, you know, premised on gold-plated luxury and super affluent clientele, may not fully recover from the fallout of his supporters violently storming and vandalizing the U.S. Capitol. This is according to hospitality analysts and some people close to the business, the Trump Organization. Other companies linked with the Trumps, including Deutsche Bank, the president's largest lender and signature bank, another lender that he has, the only two that would touch him with a 10-foot fucking pole, are dropping him. They're distancing themselves from him and his businesses. The backlash is part of a broader shunning of Trump and his allies in the wake of the deadly assault on the Capitol. Schools have stripped the president of honorary degrees. Some prominent Republicans threatened to leave the party. The New York State Bar Association announced it had begun investigating Mr. Trump's personal attorney, Rudy. That could lead to his removal from the New York Bar.
Why has that not been done? I mean, Rudy hasn't paid his fees in how long? If I don't pay my membership to Costco, I can't even get a day pass to shop. And they're letting this guy into courtrooms across America.
Yes. And sports people too. Bill Belichick, Patriots coach, has refused Trump's offer of the Medal of Freedom. Of course, the fallout began on Thursday when the e-commerce provider Shopify terminated online stores affiliated with the president. The biggest blow came Sunday, at least the biggest blow to Trump, when the PGA announced it would strip Mr. Trump's New Jersey Golf Club of a major tournament. Mr. Trump was said to be gutted by the PGA decision, that's according to a person close to the White House, as he worked personally for years to push the tournament executives to hold events at his courses. So he's just... I mean, you know, we saw early on in 2016, 2015, 2016, 2017, people, you know, residents of buildings with the Trump name on it, the letters coming off. Yeah, I know. I'm sure you saw photos and videos of this, you know, the name Trump being pulled off.
Absolutely.
Of shit, and people, you know, not wanting to do business with him. But this is mega. He will never do business again. And all of his loans are coming due. He's fucked, and I'm here for it.
Oh, and you know what? I'm loving it. It's delicious. All of it's delicious. And more of his people are going down, holding L. Lynn Wood accountable for a toxic stew of mendacity, prevarication, and surprising incompetence is what they're saying. In the aftermath of the 2020 election, a Delaware judge ruled that the radical right lawyer forfeited the right to represent Carter Page in his courtroom. I mean,
I love that toxic stew of mendacity, prevarication, and surprising incompetence. That's what the judge said.
That is amazing. I mean, nothing. Yeah, don't put that on your what is it called when your dating profile, Linwood, if you get on there.
Well, I think he's probably been banned from Tinder and Grindr as well. So,
well, we'll see. And this is a quote: "What has been shown in court decisions of our sister states satisfies me that it would be inappropriate and inadvisable to continue Mr. Wood's permission to practice before this court." Delaware Superior Court Judge Craig Karsnitz wrote in a passionate 8-page order. And another quote, I acknowledge that I preside over a small part of the legal world in a small state. However, we take pride in our bar. He continues, a number of events have occurred since the filing of the rule to show cause, the judge noted. I've seen reports of tweets attributed to Mr. Wood. At least one tweet called for the arrest and execution of our vice president. Another alleged claim against the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, which are too disgusting and outrageous to repeat. Following on top of these are the events of January 6th, 2021 in our nation's capital. No doubt these tweets and many others inciting these riots. Now, whether Wood bore any responsibility for the bloodshed was outside of the realm of Karznitz Court. So he said, I am not here to litigate if Mr. Wood was ultimately the source of the incitement, he wrote. I make no finding with regard to this conduct, and it does not form any part of the basis for my ruling. I reaffirm my limited role. I am revoking my order granting Lynn Wood, Esquire, the privilege of representing Page in this case. Period. The fucking end.
Sorry, Hat Boy. You're going to have to find a new shitty lawyer. It's going to be interesting to see now that this has happened. They already were scraping the bottom of the barrel for lawyers. You know, I mean, when Trump is like, I've announced my legal team for impeachment, you know, before in his first impeachment, he had Sekulow and Cipollone and like, but now it's...
I was wearing my underwear, Dershowitz.
It's Rudy Giuliani and Captain Underpants. Those are his two. Those are the two lawyers. And any of these fuck faces who try to get legal representation, you know, all these major law firms are stepping back. These big white shoe law firms are like, we're not representing any of you. And, you know, when Cleta, was that her name? The female Cletus was on that call with Raffensperger, and her law firm was like, we're breaking up.
I mean, I tell you what, with a bipartisan impeachment, if this happens, if he thinks this is about to happen, he's going to do a flurry. He's going to try so hard to get as many pardons as he can in. And if I was a lawyer, I wouldn't touch them. I wouldn't put my fingerprints anywhere near these.
Mm-hmm. Although he did say, apparently there was reporting at NBC today, that somebody advised Trump, hey, buddy, hey, pal, you know, if you pardon yourself, it's like an admission of guilt and you're going to open yourself up to a bunch of civil suits, people suing you, saying, hey, you know, I'm suing him for what happened to me at the Capitol, for example.
Right.
And he'll go, I didn't have anything to do with it. And they're like, you pardoned yourself. That means that you're guilty. Now, we have some differing opinions on whether or not that is the case, but whatever is true, and we'll talk about that with Ellie Honig here in a minute, whatever is true, Trump was so pissed. He said, fine, no pardons for anyone, meaning like, you know, if I can't pardon myself, no one will get any pardons. So we'll see what happens. I'm expecting more pardons, at least for his family.
And
himself, but we'll see. We'll see what he does, but he's pissed and, deservedly so. And, you know, the Department of Justice and FBI, I told you about that joint presser today. And that's about the scope of the huge investigation into the insurrection that could take months and months to unravel. And that is going to be one aspect of the incoming Department of Justice that Andrew Torres from Opening Arguments and I will be covering in our new podcast, Clean Up on Aisle 45. It debuts on Inauguration Day. It's going to be a weekly podcast that comes out Wednesday mornings, and that starts January 20th. But I also spoke, I spoke to CNN legal analyst, former prosecutor Ellie Honig about that press conference today, and that interview is coming up right after the break. So stay with us.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's AG, and this episode of The Beans is brought to you by Helix Sleep. As you know, I haven't been sleeping very well for the past 4 years, and at first I thought it was just because of the massive amount of news and the orange maniac in the White House, but as it turns out, I also had a garbage mattress. But Helix solved my problem. Helix Sleep understands that you're unique. They customize your mattress to fit you in the way you sleep best. They have this online sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete, and they use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences with the perfect mattress for you. So if you like a mattress that's firm, or if you like a soft mattress, or if you sleep on your side or your belly or your back, or you sleep really hot like I do, with Helix, there's a specific mattress for you. I was matched to the Helix Midnight. That was my match because I like a bed medium firm and I sleep on my side, so it's perfect for me. But you don't have to take my word for it or Mandy and Joelle's word for it. They love theirs, best mattress they've ever had. Jordan says the same thing. I agree. You don't have to take our word for it, though. Helix was actually awarded number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 and then again this year, 2020, by GQ and Wired Magazine. So just go to helixsleep.com/dailybeans and take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty. and you get to try it out for 100 sleeps risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. Take all the guesswork out of it, but you will love it, I promise. And Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dailybeans. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/dailybeans for up to $200 off. All right, everybody, welcome back. Joining me today is former federal and state prosecutor and CNN legal analyst Ellie Honig. Ellie, welcome back. How are you?
Great. Trying to process everything that happens seemingly hour by hour. I guess let's sort of think. We are 1 week away from the end of this presidency. But of course, it looks like the president has found a way to keep himself in the news for at least a few more weeks through an impeachment trial in the Senate.
Yes, 100%. And you and I just finished watching this press briefing by the Department of Justice and FBI. And when I say that, I don't mean the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI. I mean Michael Sherwin, the D.C. U.S. Attorney General. And of course, I can't remember his name, but he's the head of the Washington field office
right.
at the FBI, or Deputy Director of Washington Field Office. I'm not sure why the director wasn't available. I don't know. But in any case, very odd press conference. And I wanted to get your top line thoughts on it, because as you said, while we only have 8 days, 7 days left, they mentioned in this press conference that this is not days or weeks. It's going to be months and months of an investigation nationwide with the FBI and Department of Justice.
So first of all, what a completely inexplicable omission. Well, maybe it is explicable, but to not have the acting attorney general or the FBI director there. I mean, the people you saw are I'm sure fine public servants. No knock on them, but I mean, this is a U.S. attorney. He's an acting U.S. attorney, one of 93 in the country. How do you not have the leadership out for this? I mean, if you look back at some of the things that FBI leadership has made speeches on and made public appearances on, they're a drop in the bucket compared to this. I mean, this is the most significant criminal event, political event, whatever you want to call it, that's happened certainly during this presidency, and you don't have the leaders of the FBI and DOJ. There's only two possibilities. Either they decided not to show up for this, which is a complete dereliction of duty, or they were somehow ordered or instructed not to show up for this, which is a dereliction of duty by whoever gave that order. It's absolutely inexplicable. And I think unforgivable. In terms of the substance itself, I mean, no surprise. You know, it's good to see that the line level prosecutors are working on this case and digging in. And yes, of course, this will take months and months to identify everybody and bring the proper charges. And that's all good. One thing that they didn't confront, or they weren't directly asked, they would have liked to have seen them asked, is, are you also going to look at people who were not physically in the Capitol that day, but incited this crowd, up to and including the president? I'd like to see what their straight answer is on that. I hope it's yes, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, well, I do know that Sherwin has said that he is not looking at charging or investigating the president or Rudy or Junior for inciting, although the U.S. The D.C. Attorney General, Carl Racine, says he's going to be looking into it, which is weird because that's not normally in his purview, but he said, oh, we're going to expand my purview and I'm going to be looking into it.
Yeah.
Now, the only other maybe option three I can think of is for national security purposes. If Chris Wray and Jeffrey Rosen got up there, they could be fired, and then we would have no one at the helm of the FBI or the Department of Justice. I mean, not that Rosen is some sort of,
right,
you know, linchpin at the Department of Justice anyway, but maybe to preserve their jobs in order to have a continuity of government, at least until, because now we know Pompeo's been disinvited to Europe, and we just don't really have a functioning government, not that we ever did, but it might make it worse. Maybe it's a national security consideration.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, obviously, if they were fired, someone would fill in. I'd be shocked if the president was so reckless as to fire them this time, although I've been shocked by his recklessness before. But look, this is a situation. If you're the FBI director or the acting AG, this is too important. You just have to say, look, I'm doing it. And if I do it and you fire me, so be it. I mean, you have to take a stand at some point. So if that's the explanation, I'm not impressed.
Yeah, no, nor I, specifically, though this is all sinking in.
Yeah.
And it also struck, I think we just, I just saw Andy McCabe on CNN too, and he's like, yeah, where were they?
Yeah.
Also, I think one of the important things here that they wanted to make clear that they did communicate, I think, effectively, was the misconception that a lot of these seditionists and insurrectionists were just being picked up on trespassing charges.
Right.
And I think they tried to clear that up a little bit by saying, hey, generally what we do is we get them, we arrest them on something open and shut and simple. And then we bring all this stuff before the grand jury, and they are looking at sedition and conspiracy charges additionally. Do you are a former federal prosecutor. That's kind of the way it rolls, right?
Yeah, that is a common tactic. If you have somebody who you know or suspect has committed very serious crimes, but it's going to be more complicated to prove that, and you want to get cuffs on them, then yeah, you bring the easiest provable charge. It serves as a placeholder, and then you will have a charge on this person. You can get them locked up or you can get them under supervision while you continue to develop out the rest of the investigation. So that is a common tactic. I think it's a smart tactic here.
And finally, just on this last piece on the DOJ before we get to talking about some other things that are happening with pardons and self-pardons and other things, where does the buck stop? Because that's the big question. The FBI came out today and said, we communicated everything we had within 40 minutes. We told our JTTC thing, we put it out, we contacted our normal channels of local and federal law enforcement. But aren't normal channels not the way to go with this kind of information?
Yeah, I mean, look, it looks like we're starting to see a little bit of a game of hot potato where they're all pointing at each other saying, well, I told you. I mean, you know, there's not necessarily a straight line hierarchy when it comes to this kind of information sharing. But I mean, look, the FBI, I want to know what the Capitol Police knew and who told them and what they did with it. That's a big question. And I want to know where the FBI was, because, I mean, look, the FBI doesn't technically outrank some of these other entities. But, you know, look, this is the difficulty when it comes to intel in law enforcement. A lot of different agency, virtually every agency has its own sources of intel, and they share them sometimes, but not always. But then it's a question of who's going to act. And here it doesn't look like anybody took appropriate action.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very curious about the now resigned chief of Capitol Police,
right,
and sergeants at arms in the House and Senate. And then, of course, we have the three installed douchebags over at the Pentagon who, you know, Akash Patel, maybe the linchpin among them. And of course, Christopher Miller, who just wasn't picking up the phone that night, I guess, or that day. And so it's just I tend to think in my heart of hearts, I hope that is where this bottleneck lies, that it lies with the White House and a coordinated effort. But that is all speculation, and none of that came out in the press conference today. And those are the questions we need answered.
Yeah, look, there's the on the ground charges, obviously. I mean, what they did today was sort of the red meat, the obvious stuff. All the people we saw on video need to be charged with everything from trespass to destruction of property up to, in some cases, murder. That's a completely uncontroversial. Everyone agrees with that. And so they offered that part up, which is sort of the stuff everyone can agree on, and there's no real question about. What we got no clarity on is how was this attack allowed to happen in the first place? What was the intelligence process here? And are they looking at the more difficult potential targets? Those are the bigger questions, and those were unaddressed.
Yeah, and the other thing that sort of stood out to me as a wow moment was when Sherwin, said, hey, he was asked basically if these are domestic terrorists, are you looking at domestic terrorism charges? And he says, we're bringing the full force of the FBI in on this, but I don't like labels. It was just very odd. It just seemed odd.
Well, let me explain that perhaps.
Yes, please.
There actually is no such thing as domestic terrorism charges under federal law. I've actually written pieces arguing that there should be, and we need a domestic terrorism law for this, among other reasons. Domestic terrorism, it's a strange thing in the federal law. So being formally designated as an international terror or a foreign terrorist organization has specific legal consequences. For example, it is a federal crime to render aid to a designated foreign terrorist organization. It's easier for the government to seize the assets of a foreign terrorist organization. Domestic terror is oddly, there's a weird quirk in the law where it's defined what domestic terrorism means, but then that term is never used anywhere. So there is no such federal crime as domestic terrorism. There's actually no consequence to being designated a domestic terrorist group, no legal consequence. And if you'll remember, there was this moment when Trump was doing some of his sort of performative antics when there were protests this past summer, and he declared Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. And I and others said, well, that's meaningless. That doesn't mean anything. So I do think it's an area where our law needs to be fixed.
Yeah. And I wish they would have said that. Yeah. I wish they would have said, hey, then we don't have a federal criminal statute for domestic terrorism, or that's not a term of art in federal criminal code. And that would be up to Congress to make that change. And there would need to be legislation and laws and statutes put in place to have that happen. But no, it was just sort of a, like, hey, are you my boyfriend? I don't like labels. Okay. It was just, it was very, it just seemed a little hands off for me. But I mean, that's how they are.
Yep.
I get that. But I think we need to definitely drill down on some of these things so that we can know, so that the public can know whose responsibility it is to make these things, to give these things teeth. I have a couple more questions about pardons and civil lawsuits and Trump stuff. Will you stick around? I have to take a break.
Yeah, of course.
All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Hello, Daily Beans listeners. AG here. Happy New Year to everyone, literally. I'm hoping to have a happier and less stressful New Year. And if you're looking for a fun way to have a little bit of stress relief while engaging your brain and keeping staying sharp, I have a recommendation for you. It is a fun mobile game. It's so fun. It's a mobile game app with breathtaking visuals and a gripping story. I'm obsessed with it. It's called Best Fiends. I love Best Fiends because it's a refreshing break from the daily news and politics and pandemics, but I still get to keep my mind focused and active, so it's good exercise for me. Best Fiends is a stress reliever. It's part of my self-care routine. I can focus on character collection and the challenging puzzles, which are super fun, and I engage my brain in it. It's just enjoyable. I started playing Best Fiends once in a while as a quick distraction, but I was quickly captivated by the beautiful visual design. It's so calming and soothing. I got deeper into the story and the characters. Most of the characters are bugs, and the antagonists are slugs. And you get to collect all these characters, level them up, and use them strategically. And I find myself playing more and more in weird places at random times, because you don't need the internet, so you don't have to worry about Wi-Fi access or using cell data. And Best Fiends treats the game like a service for their players. That's so important. It updates it monthly with new levels and new events, so it never gets old. I'm on level like 1,800 or something. It's so much fun to play. Anyway, I digress. Best Fiends is a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike other games out there, so engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect a ton of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads now, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. You can download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends Without the R, Best Fiends. All right, everybody, welcome back. We're talking to former federal and state prosecutor Ellie Honig, CNN legal analyst. I wanted to get into somebody, there was a reporter came on NBC reporting today that somebody advised Trump against a self-pardon because self-pardon will open you up to a bunch of civil suits, not criminal, but civil lawsuits, because by pardoning yourself, you're admitting wrongdoing, and that makes it easier for someone to sue you civilly. So if someone got hurt in the insurrection, for example, they would have, and Trump pardoned himself for it, they would have a beefier civil suit. Can you talk a little bit? And I know we've talked about this before, but I want to talk about it again. Is a pardon and admission of guilt?
Legally, no. That argument does not stand up legally. There's nothing in any law or the Constitution that says giving or receiving a pardon implies guilt. Now, everyone points to this 1915 U.S. Supreme Court decision. That's not what that Supreme Court decision says. It's dicta, which is lawyers speak for sort of a peripheral point. And what the Supreme Court says is true, which is the giving or accepting of a pardon often creates a common perception that something was done wrong, but it's not legally binding as such. And I'll give you a couple examples. First of all, what's the highest possible purpose of the pardon power? To pardon somebody who was wrongly accused, wrongly convicted? Okay, does the person who accepts a pardon in that circumstance have to admit guilt? No. Also, people get pardoned posthumously after they've died. And that, of course, does not involve an admission of guilt. Now, look, as a practical matter, it looks bad to give someone a pardon. It looks bad to be pardoned. It looks bad to receive a pardon. But this idea that a pardon itself will be admissible in a civil case is simply incorrect.
Yeah. And apparently Trump went on to say, well, if I can't have a pardon, no one can have pardons.
Yeah.
And so now he's very angry.
Well, if that's the end result, then maybe we're better for that bad piece of legal advice he was given. but no, there was I will say on record here, and you can play this back, if there's ever a civil suit and the fact that a pardon was issued or received is admitted in evidence in front of the jury, I will eat a notebook.
Okay. All right. We are writing that down. I am putting the timestamp and the date.
A small one.
A very small notebook. So another thing, too, is that I think I saw Preet Bharara come on CNN last night and say that Trump can pardon the insurrectionists in a blanket pardon. He says that
yes.
You don't have to name individuals or specific crimes and they don't have to be charged with anything. And he gave the example of the people who in Vietnam who dodged the draft or whatever. They were all given a blanket sort of pardon without names or instances or any details like that. Can you talk a little bit about that? And do you think we might see that happen? And if that happens, are these even challengeable? I mean, the pardon power is so broad, but does it change when it's insurrection?
No, there's no exception to the pardon power for insurrection. Yes, I believe the president can issue a blanket pardon of that nature. It would immediately shoot to the top of the list of worst pardons in our history, most corrupt pardons, most lawless pardons. But I will say this, I wonder if the fact that the president is facing a looming post-presidency impeachment trial in the Senate, which could result in his permanent disqualification from holding office, I wonder if a rational actor in that position would think, boy, I don't need to further inflame people by issuing this kind of pardon. Now, that is a big qualification here, a rational actor. But look, I think if he were to issue that kind of pardon, it would have to all but ensure that he gets convicted and that he gets disqualified permanently. But as a practical matter, no, there's really no way to stop that from happening other than, it's one more reason he needs to be removed from office, but that's not going to happen likely before January 20th. And no, there's legally, the only way I could see would be if DOJ charged them anyway and then argued in court, even though it was done with the Vietnam draft dodgers, even though it was done back after the Confederacy to pardon Confederate soldiers, it's not proper. It's not constitutional, which would be an uphill climb in the courts.
And what about individual state charges in the states where these individuals are from?
Yeah, so it depends on, the specifics of the state laws. I mean, look, it clearly would apply to federal charges. There's actually an interesting question, and I think Preet referred to this as well. So D.C., all prosecutions in D.C. are handled by the Justice Department, but there's federal law which applies in D.C. as it does anywhere, and that's the kind of thing like sedition and destruction of federal property. Then there's local D.C. law, and there's some disagreement over whether that is pardonable or not. I actually think it might not be, because what the Constitution says is offenses against the United States. I would argue those crimes, those local D.C. crimes, are offenses against the District of Columbia, but not the United States. But we don't know the answer to that. Individual states, there could be charges coming out of individual states if there was, say, plotting that happened in that state. And that could be as simple as a person who lives in, I'll say, New Jersey, because I live here, in New Jersey, getting on his keyboard and, typing out messages with other rioters in advance and saying, OK, I'll meet you at the corner of X and Y and we'll go. We'll go cause trouble in the Capitol. So there could be state level charges, but I think if there is a mass pardon or any pardons, I think state prosecutors need to use the law in the most aggressive and creative way possible to make sure that people get charged on the state level.
Yeah, especially if there's a pardon. And then, with the D.C. AG versus D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office and federal versus local D.C. code, we've been told those are all pardonable by the president. And so it didn't really make sense to me that the D.C. Attorney General was trying to bring charges out, which is outside of his purview. But he says, I'm working on it. I think that is just another argument for statehood for D.C.
Yeah, perhaps. And you're right to note that the D.C. Attorney General has very limited criminal jurisdiction. I mean, if you look at their website, which I did yesterday, you'll see it says we have very limited criminal jurisdiction, including the following five areas. And the first one's like traffic offenses. So look, maybe they'll get creative. Maybe they'll find something, some sort of disturbing the peace, but it's not the ideal sort of, you know, key and lock fit. The better fit would be the United States Department of Justice, the U.S. attorneys. But again, that's subject to pardon.
Yeah, unless they were fishing in the Potomac on that trip without a license, I don't think we're right. going to be able to
listen, see those kinds of I'm going to confess right here, because I think the statute of limitations has run. I have jaywalked in Washington, D.C. a lot.
I'm telling CNN. All right. Well, thank you so much for these clarifications. I really appreciate it. Can you tell everybody where to find you?
Yeah, Twitter, Ellie Honig. I'm the only Ellie Honig. There's no one or two or 12. Let's see, CNN. If you go to my CNN cross-exam page, I'm around. People can find me.
Yeah, you're findable. All right, thank you very much, CNN legal analyst, former federal and state prosecutor Ellie Honig. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks, AG.
Everybody stick around. We'll be right back with the good news. Hey everybody, it's AG for the Daily Beans. Have you ever thought about your cellular health, like your health on a cellular level? I hadn't either. I mean, why would we? Well, because cell health is super important. It's one of the building blocks of your cells. It's called NAD, and that is vital for things like sleeping, breathing, eating, drinking, all those involuntary things we never have to think about, but are very important. But the bad news is, as we age, our bodies don't make NAD like they used to. Of course, womp womp. But here's the good news. There's a way to boost your NAD levels thanks to True Niagen. True Niagen helps counteract the effects of time on your body by promoting cellular repair. It also helps with healthy aging by supporting cellular function and metabolism to maintain overall health and well-being. True Niagen can also help you increase cellular energy. It replenishes the decline in NAD due to stressors like lack of sleep or overeating, so you can keep up with your active lifestyle. Taking True Niagen also helps with cellular defense in the face of stresses like alcohol consumption or immune stress, which is a form of cellular stress. And True Niagen has caught the attention of the scientific community with its remarkably high ability to boost NAD, and they have over 10 clinical studies to prove it. So give yourselves a boost with True Niagen. And right now, new customers can save $20 on a 3-month supply by going to trueniagen.com/dailybeans. That's trueniagen.com/dailybeans to save $20 on a 3-month supply. trueniagen.com/dailybeans. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news. Well, we'll float on good news. It's on the way.
I love this part.
It is the best part, and we so need it. And thank you to everyone for sending in your good news stories. If you have any that are personal or political, or you just want to send us photos of your kids or your pets or your grandkids, we take it all. And any confessions or any disputes in quarantine that you might need to settle in Amy's court, send them in. Go to dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. I got a little piece of good news before we get to our listener submitted good news. Elise Stefanik, you know, the impeachment hearings.
Yeah.
She was asked to step down as a member of the advisory committee for the Harvard Institute of Politics, and she said no, and Harvard just removed her.
I'm going to give you a chance. Okay, bye-bye.
You want to step down? I know you want to step down. Okay, now bye-bye. I don't want to step down. All right. Well, bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. On to the bye-bye. Which part didn't you understand? The buh or the bye?
The buh or the bye? Bye-bye.
Good old Helen Hunt. All right, so first in from Kressel, pronouns she and her. Hi, I've been listening to your show for a few years already. MSW was my main source of American news when I was visiting my son in Israel in 2019. My good news is that I quit my job, took my mom out of assisted living, and became her full-time caretaker. She has dementia and has been being kept apart from my sister and me. Both that confused her and disturbed her. The change also allows me to spend more time on my writing, which is what I've always wanted to do. I was planning waiting until her birthday to share this, but you said you really needed the good news, and today seemed like a fitting day. We reached another important milestone. She's gotten her first dose of the COVID vaccine.
Oh, and here she is. Look at how beautiful her eyes are.
Oh, lovely. That's a, wow, yeah, that blue is, that's a stunning blue eye color there.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad. I hope that she has many, many years left with her daughter. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. More good news is coming from Braun, pronouns she and her. Good news, beanie ladies. We have dirt, soil, wholesome, lovely dirt. In around October last year, I decided that for Christmas, I would give my parents a new garden. I live with them, and so a bit of a present for me too. Anyway, we got to a week before Christmas, and because of the unstoppable but needed and constant rain, it wasn't going to be ready. I was slightly upset because like it was meant to be done so we could enjoy it during our staycation over Christmas. But Compared to the rest of the world's issues, it was really nothing. Fast forward to the other day, and 10 cubic meters, or in U.S. speak, 2,270 gallons, oh my goodness, was delivered. And because I was trying to keep the local economy going, not because I'm out of shape, I paid some lovely men to move it all into place. Next week, the plants arrive, all native to Australia. I live in Australia, Sydney. It's going to encourage native birds and bees in our yard. Ooh. I may have sent a high drunk message before Christmas about Dogo Chewbacca. Oh my God. He's very happy about the garden too, but a bit miffed. We don't trust him not to dig it all up. Love you ladies for the pod pet tax. I attached Chewbacca and some pics of our garden dirt. We send update once the plants are in. Chewbacca's adorable and look at eyeing the dirt like, that's for me?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to dig that dirt now.
Oh my God. The third picture. Look at these garden beds. Oh, wow. This would be my haven. I want to plant veggies and fruits in there.
Mm. And so, you know, Bron, we don't measure our dirt in gallons here. You guys do it in cubic meters. We actually measure it in yards. And if you ask me how much a yard of dirt is, I don't know. It's a lot. We had to have 7 yards of dirt in order to level our backyard a couple years ago.
Do we think Chewbacca has strawberry yogurt on his beard or something else in the last picture?
Pepto-Bismol.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, that's the color it looks like, but it also looks like strawberry yogurt.
What were you eating, Chewy?
Oh, God, how cute.
All right, I'm going to run the next two here because this one's pretty short. It's from Joy, pronouns she and her. My good news is just a picture of my two beautiful boxers, and then there they are.
Can you make that shorter? Angie, if you can make that one shorter, that would be great.
My good news is just a picture of my two boxers.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And look how beautiful. They're so good.
Love boxers. I love boxers.
They're such so good dogs, too. They're so smart.
And they're the cutest damn puppies. My God.
Yes. With their goofy feet. And they're like, derp, derp. They're so great. And next up from Marilyn, pronouns she and her. You put out a request for good news. So here it goes. In 2020, I did 9,515 push-ups on my knees.
What? Good for you.
Built up to a 6-mile run. Walked the doggos for 170 hours, and while gaining strength and muscle, I dropped 11.5% of my body weight.
Goodness.
I tackled some challenging work and have a design going forward to market next year. Awesome. I collaborated with my board game loving friends and family to figure out how to play code names Tiny Towns in New York Zoo over video conference. Awesome. I was a source of information and support for friends anxious about the election. I was also an election judge, and it was the most energizing birthday I've ever had. This podcast, staffed and hosted by amazing people, was part of it. Example, while running, I was listening to the episode on Flynn's pardon, and the rage pushed me to a new high mileage. So thanks for everyone for helping us through this. Thank you for helping me take some control back. Thanks for the laughs and the reality checks. Daily Beans staff, hosts, and guests, you all added to our tanks, so help others fill theirs. Pet tax, 2 dogs, 1 bed, Sanibel and Lady Sansa of House Bark.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I love Game of Thrones references.
I know, me too.
Oh, congratulations on all your milestones. I'm actually a little bit envious, trying to get back into shape. All right.
Otter alert. There's otter photos in this next one.
You know what? Okay. I love otters, and you... Oh my God. Okay, I can't yet. I can't. This is from Scarecrow, pronouns he and him. Hello, Beans team. I'm a bit late with this update, but, well, last week was a bit distracting. I messaged a few weeks ago about my seasonal job as a nutcracker. I remember that story. Mm-hmm. AG wondered if I was in San Diego, and although I would love to see the San Diego Wild Animal Park someday, I'm actually in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Much colder, a little park Kennywood is a beloved local institution.
I would just like to interject here. So sorry that my Browns beat your Steelers last week, but not
I mean,
really.
That was rough. Now, in a continuation of my good news, our zoo lights drive-thru.
I'm sorry, that was hot. That was super hot. That was rough.
Our zoo lights drive-thru was a fantastic success. Over 29 nights, we had about 15,000 cars come through, and I was there to wave to all but 3 of them. My goodness. My light staff blew apart while spinning it. Oh no, and launched the top ball down the exit ramp. I had to run after and 3 cars got past me. Okay, just the visual of this nutcracker having to run down the ramp. I'm sure the cars were like, what the hell's going on? The money raise was a lifesaver for our poor little zoo as they were under a second COVID shutdown from the beginning of December. Waving at cars wasn't as fun as being in the park with the guests, but it was fulfilling and felt great to see how happy the visitors were. I just got another visual of the Nutcracker.
Nutcracker running down the embankment after his shiny ball.
I tried to keep it together. I'm grateful to be given the chance to participate in the income. The income was a much needed boost. One of my photos shows the new addition to my Nutcracker hat. The That was a good wheezy whistling one. I have the giggles now. Okay. The little skull, the little skull has been there since 2013 and denotes my role as a haunt actor for Phantom Frights Nights at Halloween. The new one is a woodpecker carved from a fragrant fragment of wood from Kennywood's Jackrabbit roller coaster. I feel like I'm on acid right now, which turned 100 in 2020. They replace wood all the time. I got this piece out of the trash just so it doesn't scare the shit out of the people on this ride, I'm assuming.
Right, like he's just up there with a chainsaw. They won't miss it.
Oh, it honors Kennywood, the jackrabbit, and the zoo, and it's a very inside joke. One night at Zoo Lights, as a car went past, a little boy called out to me, "Bye, woodpecker." His mother said, "That's a nutcracker, not a woodpecker." She glanced at me and said quietly, "Nutcrackers have woodpeckers." I had to immortalize that moment. Thank you, anonymous lady. No chicken picks today. Instead, I have three of my coworkers. The window in our dressing room looked directly into the polar bear enclosure. Oh my God, I would just stay in the dressing room the whole time. The bears are denning right now, so this was the only time I saw the one. The sea otters, which are my favorite things in the world, AG, and sea lions were in the same building, and I had to go through the water tunnel to reach the restroom. Quite often, the sweet little sea lion with the heart nose would swim down to visit. Thank you for keeping us informed. Thanks for keeping us uninformed, making us laugh, and helping us get through the days. The Nutcracker and Gingerbread Baker wish you an awesome 2021. Look at this fucking otter, the first thing.
The hands.
If you don't know this, the reason I love otters so much, and you don't know this because I've never shared it with you, is that otters hold hands at night when they sleep so they don't drift apart in the water.
Oh, that's a metaphor for something.
I know, and the polar bears, I think, are magnificent. Look at that.
Oh, beautiful. The woodpecker on the hat is beautiful. And then, oh, hey there, polar bear.
Hey, girl, hey. And then, look at the hard-nosed sea lion.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness. Okay, I would be in heaven.
This is cuteness overload.
Okay. Now imagine him running down the exit ramp.
Picture of okay.
Oh man, good times.
Oh, I can't wait for y'all patrons to see this. If you're not a patron, it's $3 a month. Be. You get the ad free episodes. The Mary Trump Book Club is on there, which we never released to the public, and you get to see these photos. Do it. Check it out. Patreon.com/ I don't know. Mueller She Wrote Works. Oh, that's okay. That's going to be a visual in my head for a while.
That's good times.
Next up from KL, pronouns she and her. Hey, Beans team. I wrote in September about my last semester for my degree, and also in November. This was an unbelievably difficult time academically for me. Getting a steady supply of my ADHD medication was a task and a half because it's restricted, and I have to see a doctor monthly to get it and then have it ordered. The double whammy of COVID frequently canceling my appointments and the mail delay has me rationing meds or just simply going without. In addition, I've had migraines since I was in high school, and in September, all treatments, pain relievers, and preventive meds stopped working. To keep it short, it got really bad. With support from my family, friends, and doctors, and 3 out of 4 pretty great professors, I pulled it off. I passed all my classes and officially graduated. Commencement isn't until May 2021, and because I skipped the ceremony for my associates, I promised some loved ones who are no longer here physically that I would participate in the next. I reserve the right to be a punk about it, though. Attached is Box Cat Liv, making me take a break to give her attention, the big baby. She's also the November vote Biden-Harris cat, just so you know.
Oh, my goodness. And KL, listen, if you're listening to this, and I'll say this, if your migraines are still really, really bad and you have not tried this, and it may sound crazy, and I know some people will go, no, it works. if you're open to it, Botox, and I'm not mm-hmm. making a medical recommendation, but Botox can do wonders for migraines if you have mm-hmm. not been able to find something to fix it yet. So just consider it. Maybe talk to your doctor about it.
Acid works too.
There you go. Acid and Botox.
harder to find the Botox. No, I'm kidding.
True.
But definitely not making medical recommendations on this pod, caveat, but I've had some friends with migraines who just absolutely, and some folks who also grind their teeth at night, Botox.
Yep. I get shots. I can say that personally. I clench. I don't grind, but I've cracked several teeth because of it, and I get shots just in my jaw. And what it does is it creates a situation where your masseter muscle just, it physically cannot bite down that hard anymore. And it saves a lot of money in dental work. So like we said, not medical recommendations, just experiential suggestions. Now, this next one comes from Libby, no pronouns given. My best friend's guy who made it through treatment for bladder cancer a while back and... was my good news. Just got the 1 year all clear. He's back to trout fishing and not finishing projects around the house. So all is right there in their world. Saying I love the show and your humor helps me get through the day is a total understatement. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pet taxes, photos included, a doe eating the ewe just outside my window. Cat thinking in a tree, also pictured with the dog Archie in what I call the Sweet Caroline pose, reaching out, etc., and my mom's horse free range grazing in the yard. That doe is absolutely beautiful. Now, AG, if you don't know what a doe is, it's a deer. It's a female deer.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
And if you don't know what a ewe is, it's a tree. Ewe tree. reaching out. That's the Sweet Caroline pose.
Oh, Sweet Caroline.
I would call it the Sistine Chapel.
Totally. That's so funny. They just need to have their paws touching. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That horse. Horses are beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're just majestic and powerful and gorgeous. Thank you so much for the submission and these absolutely beautiful animals.
I think the otter photo.
Oh,
or is it the? I don't want to pick a winner of photos. That's just not fair because they're all so amazing. But also the Nutcracker with the Miss Gingerbread and
my goodness,
these are also wonderful. But this horse is gorgeous, and I do love the Sistine Chapel, Sweet Caroline pose, and doe a deer, female deer. Her eyebrows, that doe's eyebrows are on fleek. Check it out.
Totally.
That's an on fleek doe.
They look better than mine right now. I haven't had them done since the beginning of the pandemic.
Awesome. Well.
My eyebrows, remember, like I said, they're like, hey, Bert. Like Bert and Ernie, like, hey, Bert.
My sister one time tried to tell me that a guy that she knew had a unibrow, but the way she said it was like, yeah, I was like, you should ask him on a date. And she's like, yeah, but he's not that smart and he only has one eyebrow. And my immediate question was, what happened to his other eyebrow?
Isn't it funny how our brains do that sometimes? That's fantastic.
I just think of the dumbest stuff sometimes. And then I'm like, oh, wait, rewind. I get it. Unibrow.
Too funny.
Anyway, if you have any more stories, pictures, anything, please, we need them so much. This has been so helpful to so many people. Send them in. dailybeanspod.com. Click contact. Any final thoughts, Dana, before we get out?
Not today. Let's keep it moving.
Keep it moving. We're going to watch these Republicans fall like dominoes. We're going to vote for impeachment tomorrow. He could be convicted and removed and banned from running for office again in the Senate. Mitch McConnell hates him. So we'll see.
I have not had a drink except, like I said, the glass of champagne since December 27th. If he gets impeached and convicted and removed before the inauguration, all bets are off. I'm going to be hammered on January 20th.
Girl, it's my birthday. So.
Oh, we'll toast. We'll toast to you for sure.
Yeah. And I think we're going to be having a little, after the inauguration, a little Zoom call. So, you know, if you feel like joining
you
us
with
patrons and cocktails for my birthday and the inauguration.
It'll be my pleasure. It'll be my pleasure.
We would love to have you. All right.
Dear.
That's it. Until tomorrow, everyone, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, and take care of your mental health. I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the beans.
The Daily Beans is directed, written, and hosted by executive producer Allison Gill and engineered and edited by Mackenzie Mazzell and Starburns Audio. Staff writers include Dana Goldberg, Amy Carrero, and Allison Gill. Our copy is written by Jesse Egan, and our marketing manager, executive assistant, and social media director is Kunai. Fact-checking and research by Allison Gill, Dana Goldberg, and Amy Carrero. Our music is written and performed by They Might Be Giants. Our web design and branding are by Joel Reeder and Moxie Design Studios. And our website is dailybeanspod.com.
Hi, I'm Harry Littman, host of Talking Feds, a roundtable that brings together prominent figures from government, law, and journalism for a dynamic discussion of the most important topics of the day. Each Monday, I'm joined by a slate of Feds favorites and new voices to break down the headlines and give the insider's view of what's going on in Washington and beyond, plus sidebars explaining important legal concepts read by your favorite celebrities. Find Talking Feds wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler,
how much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary.
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me, in a courtroom, how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing in the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.